that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. But he comes to the heart of the soul. Walk not that way. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Verse 19, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now he holds this before them, that is not our way anymore. Verse 20, but we have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of him, and how ye have learned of him, and how have been taught by him, the truth is in Jesus. We have now an ability to hear. This is our life in our souls. That is, we know better. Now that we are Christians, we can still misbehave. We can still be difficult. We can still get angry, but we know better. And we have the grace to overcome these difficulties. Now then, and be the little phrase I have, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So let's begin. Something is to be renewed. It means to be made again, to be made new. We are brought back and renewed. We are made new again. This is a continuous presence. We go on being renewed all the days of our lives. It is something that is done to us. Now, the spirit in man, this is that highest thing that is in us and in our constitution. The spirit, the heart of the soul, and that has power and controls and directs the abilities. Now, we were spoiled in the beginning by the fall in original sin, and its effect are very profound upon us. A man puts himself under the dominion of Satan, and that's where most people are. In Genesis 6, we are told, every imagination of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. That's a terrible thing. The disposition was evil and dead in trespasses and sins. When you were past feeling, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Romans 8:6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, how do we change? In the spirit of the mind. That needs to be changed. There God plants life. I've gone over so many times, I'm not doing it again tonight, but we are regenerate. And that is a silent work in the heart of the soul, where the Holy Spirit has changed the disposition toward evil, toward good, and a work has begun. There is, however, a close but a wrong teaching that says everything happens there, but everything does not happen there. It is the beginning, of a work of grace in our hearts and in our lives. Now, something is to be removed. What has got to be removed? Our way of life is to change. Now, that's a difficult one. We don't like change. And we don't like being told. And we don't like being corrected. But something is to be changed. Our way of life is to change. And it can, because of this renewal. The instruction is to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Remember that teaching also is in Romans 6. And for the late Dr. Lloyd-Jones, he said, the discovery of this teaching was the most exciting in his life and most dramatic. Now, to put off once and for all. for he put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So he turned away from the unregenerate man, who was corrupt and evil in that way. The deceit manipulates the desires, not a great danger, who being past feeling have given themselves unto lasciviousness to work the uncleanness with greediness. So we examine the change. I'm going to do this as carefully as I can. Lloyd-Jones gave an illustration, but I've done a different one. I wouldn't say mine is better, but I'm more comfortable with it because it's easy to say. Knowing this, what our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. A miracle takes place here in our hearts, in our souls. That is, the old disposition, the old way, is now the old man, like the old personality in a way, is taken away and made new. You don't lose yourself, you don't lose your own identity, but you become new. Knowing not that to whom he yield yourself servants, to obey his servants ye also are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. If you want to know, what do I do? Well, if you sin, you serve the old man. If you obey, you serve the new man, that he wear the servants of sins, but he have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you, being then made free from sin, became the servants of righteousness. The old man is crucified with Christ. Now then, here's the illustration that I have. I've given it before. It may be helpful. I want you to think of a school that has a headmaster and five teachers and five classrooms and five classes. And we have to speak it in a kind of a pictorial way. The headmaster, you could say like this, is the heart of the soul. It has five faculties: the mind, the memory, the affections, the conscience, the will. So the headmaster, something happens to him. He is converted. He becomes a Christian. A silent work has done in his heart. And although he's the same man, he's changed. Now, normally, if he came to the headmaster's room, he would have his feet on the desk, smoke a cigar, have a bottle of something or other, and just behave as he had. There'd be riots in the school, and every classroom could behave as it liked, and the teachers didn't care. That's the non-Christian. So what happens? One day, people look at the headmaster coming to school. He's washed, he's shaved, he's dressed tidily, and he goes to his room, he tidies it up, and he calls a staff meeting. So all five teachers come from each one of the faculties of the soul. And he tells them now that there must be a change. And so he speaks to the first one, the mind. And the teacher says, now look, I haven't got a class. They're terrible. They're uncontrollable. The mind is uncontrollable. You're talking about a person or the class as you like. And the headmaster says, well, I will give you authority, and I will receive strength from the director of education, from God himself. So if you are failing, come to me, and I will provide the grace needed to control that class, which is called the class of the mind. Well, it is an impossible task, but not impossible with God's grace. So go to your class and start. Well, I can't do it just like that. No, it will be a progressive job. Bit by bit, You show the mind another way, and you can show a new authority, and you can say, not only does the soul, the headmaster, say this, but the director of education, God himself. This is his will. And you are able to do it now. But we can't, sir. You are now. You are able to do it. That's the mind. And what an area it is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What we think is what we are, to be renewed there. Then he calls the next one, the memory. The teacher says, I have a great problem. They recall bad and unclean memories. Well, go back to your class and tell them, this is my wish, and that the director of education, God himself, will give you as a teacher strength and also change your class. And so he goes from the mind to the memory, the affections, the conscience, and the will. Now, people don't realize the soul is like that. The heart of the soul, the very center of it, but it has five abilities. And as we grow in grace, and as we submit these faculties, so we become renewed in the things of God. If you want Dr. Lloyd Jones's illustration, which may be a better one, I'll give it to you. He described a man as an island and under a terrible dictator. And however, a great navy comes in, the navy of mercy and grace, and they conquer the island. Well, that is, they exchange their leadership. They take down the flag of evil and put up the flag of grace. And they change the leadership. Now, he'd be still the same one, I probably think, but they change him from a man of cruelty and wickedness to a man of grace and good. But he says, this is my problem. There are many areas in this island, pockets of resistance. The mind is a terrible area. The memory can be vile. The affections can be awful. The conscience can be low. And the will can be very, very deceitful and wrong in its decisions. Well, now, bit by bit, those five areas in your soul, until you conquer the island, will it be perfect? No, it will not be perfect, but it will be under a new leadership. It will be under a new king. Now, we are that. So if you prefer one or the other, I find the one with the school a little helpful. Both are good. And we are no longer slaves. We are free. We are free to love our enemies. We are free to cooperate. We are free to be kind. We are free to serve. So whereas we would say, well, why should I do it? Why should I bother? We become changed people. We are renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now then, that is the task that we have. But where are we? In what stage are we? Well, we might say, well, I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer a slave to unclean thoughts. What can you do? Take every thought to the captivity of Christ. Any rebellion in any area. So in the classroom, if one part of the mind is awful, you take the little boy by the ear and take him to the headmaster and say, this one's absolutely impossible. And say, headmaster, let me deal with him. Say, headmaster, I will get in touch with the director of education. It's a kind of an ordinary earthly illustration, but you can see what I'm saying. You have a soul. Your soul has five abilities. They are the areas of your life. And what they are is what you are. That's how you're getting on. Now, where are you? Are you progressing? We call it sanctification, the progress of the soul. And so each area, and we must really be on our guard. We must these minds of ours, have you noticed, take when you're praying, I find this a great problem quite often. I'm praying and my mind has wandered, not to anything bad, but wandered. So what I do there, I start again. I say, Lord, help me not to wander, not to meander, but to pray. Or if you have unkind thoughts, Lord, I'm feeling very critical. I know I am wrong. Take the spirit of criticism away from my mind and my affections. And so we begin to learn how to go to the headmaster and through him to the director. It means spiritual discipline. Sometimes we don't want to. Sometimes we have no intention to. But if we have no intention to, then we are strangers to grace. But we should have this intention and determination to go on with the things of God so that we become men and women of grace. Now, there's something to be recreated, a profound change. We walk away from bondage and the chains are broken, and that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. To put on this, renewing us in the process that nothing may hinder us. The command is addressed to those that are regenerate, in whom the new man is already existing, to be what we are. You can think of many examples. If there was somebody of a fine family and of high moral standing, yet one of the boys wanders about and does things that are unbecoming. So we say to him, you're letting your family down. Be what you are. You are a son of that house. Be what you are. And so for us too, be what you are in Christ. Not what we think we'd like to be, not putting our own standards, because our own standards are terribly low. We are created like this. It is a creation that is very wonderful and gracious. The Christian is not the old man improved. It is a creation, a new work, all right? It's not my heart and its faculty improving only, because that wouldn't do it. It is a new work where they're able to change. Every part of us is able to change. In Ephesians 2:10, we are told, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. The new principle of life is put into us by God through by the Holy Spirit. It is a principle of life in Christ Jesus. We are now partakers of the divine nature. Imagine now, you and I are partakers of the divine nature. What is the new man? What's he like? Which after God is created, the new man, there's something of the image of God. There's something very beautiful about him. He said in Genesis, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Man fell, but in this we regain something of that original image. He receives us back. Something they lost after the fall, the act of regeneration, the renewal of that image. This rebirth, this new creation, these new characteristics, righteousness and holiness. Righteousness, right living, uprightness, restores the man. Holiness, entirely separate from evil, essential purity of nature, and of being reflects the essential attributes of God, the new man. The putting on, in practical terms, here's a verse that will help you. It's in Philippians. Work it out. Work out your own salvation. Now, not how to be saved. Work out the implications of your salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Now look at that. The apostle is saying there, now you're a Christian. You know the rules now. You know you're new. But work out all the implications in all the faculties of your soul. Work it out. Work out the implication of salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Why fear and trembling? Because we are answerable in the day of Christ. In the day of judgment, we are able to say, the terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. But in the day of Christ, the Christian is assessed. There are rewards and rebukes, and I do not know, neither do I want to speculate what they are. But we are answerable. We are not less saved. We are no less saved, but we are answerable for our life of grace. That's why it says, with fear and trembling. No doubt, all of us will have some rebukes, and no doubt, some of us will have some rewards. But it is God, how can I do this? But it is God that worketh in you. Give him the credit. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So you come to this place where you are, even your will says, I will do it. And your ability is renewed by God and you say, I will do it. And I will have this and I will go that way. So you work it out because he is working in you. The disposition of evil has gone with his corrupt deceitfulness. A miracle has taken place, a renewal has happened, and you are described as a new man in Christ, holy and righteous. Now, I do not know if that sounds too complicated. To put it simply is this. We know we have a soul. We know it has five faculties. We know these must change. And we know that we have a part in this. But the greatest part is when we submit to God and say, oh Lord, I cannot control my mind. Give me grace. He'll give you grace. Oh Lord, I cannot control my ways. He'll give you grace. And so by depending entirely upon God in his way, we walk with him. We walk with him and we talk with him. We become familiar with him and we become God-like, the renewing of the spirit of your mind. It is a lifetime's occupation. They're high standards, aren't they? And yet are they? In a way, it's the opposite of, some say, let go, let God. Oh, that's stupid. All right, I give in, let God take over. That's stupid. He doesn't insult us. Indeed, he honors us by respecting our personality and he wants our cooperation. He wants our generous cooperation. You remember that old example of the Greek plays where they come with a play to a village and the leader of the village would provide the costumes for the Greek type of playing, which was mainly reciting in little groups and by individuals. But in some villages, they were very mean. But you came to some villages, and the leader of the village would give lovely costumes. And there was a word for that, which is in here, called generous cooperation. So if we cooperate with God and cooperate generously with him, then he will do these lovely things, these lovely costumes of grace, this lovely life of grace, and so we grow with him, men and women of grace.